Somebody turn in their Bible to Psalm, the last Psalm. In the last Psalm, and I want you to read the last Psalm. We've been praising God here tonight in the songs, I've noticed. Look at what the last Psalm says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise the Lord. Don't we have a lot to praise God about tonight? Amen. A lot to praise God about tonight. It's His church. We ought to praise Him in it. Give testimonies. You know, I always want to give a testimony. Every time He says, I want to give a testimony, I want to tell how God has been so good to me. And folks, I don't have enough time in the week to tell you how God has been good to me. Over the years, how He's just blessed my life. Growing up, He blessed my life. Got a call the other day from Pam Hyde. She said, Brother Jones, she said, I said, yeah, that's Brother Booney. And she said, okay, would you do the words of wisdom for our high school in the back of Lark? I said, man, let me tell you something. I don't know if I got words of wisdom. But I said, I know the Lord. And I said, those kids need to know the Lord. And I said, I sat there and thought about words of wisdom. And I was studying on my passage of scripture I had this morning. And, you know, I got to thinking, seek ye the Lord with your whole heart, everything, and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. And I thought, you know, if they could just understand that God loves them. And at that time in their life, you know, I know they're going through all kinds of things, decisions. And right down below that, I thought it was about the message I preached a couple of weeks about a choice. You got to choose. There's a wide and a narrow road. And, oh, if they could just get on the narrow road and not get on that old wide road. And if they just get on the narrow road and start at Calvary with the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, man, it'd make all the difference in the world in their life. And praise the Lord. Give Him all the praise. It's His sanctuary. Not only that, He's in His sanctuary. He's in His sanctuary. He fills our lives. Oh, man, we ought to be praising God for something tonight. We ought to be able to stand up and say, man, let me tell you what God's done in my life this week. How He's just blessed my life. You see, that's what Paul says about a healthy church. The message is on in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Just two verses of scripture. And you know what? I've left my glasses at the house. And I need to borrow your glasses, Rhonda, I guess. When we go bowling, they kind of look funny. When we go bowling, there's the guy. Wait just a minute. He's got a good pair. I'll guarantee you, this man back here has got everything you need anytime you need it. I tell you what, he loans them to me all the time. They just fit right, yeah. Now, don't call me Emmett, would you? I know this might make me look like Emmett, but I'm not Emmett. Yeah. Let's see if I can see out of these things. Emmett? Oh, yeah. The church at Philippi. Man, you know what? Grandpa Jones had a pair like this. I want to talk about a healthy church. A healthy church. Folks, you know, we it's just a blessing to be in a healthy church. And I think our church is a healthy church. I really do. I think this church is, I say all the time, it's the greatest church anywhere. I know there's some bigger and there's some probably that does more, but this church is a healthy church, and I'm going to tell you why it's a healthy church. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much today that we can come here tonight and just praise you. God, we've got so much to be praising you for. Living in a country like this, living with a church like this, and people around us that we love each other, and Lord, how you work in our lives, and how we saw one baptized this morning. Oh, and the activities that we're going to go through in this summer with all the youth and the children and Vacation Bible School and the workers that you've given us. Lord, we've got so much to be thankful for. And Lord, I just thank you for the beautiful music that we heard this morning and the piano and the organist that play. And Lord, that organ that's coming is, it's just going to be out of this world. And Lord, I thank you for all of that you blessed us with. And Lord, I praise your name for it. And we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. A healthy church. Paul says that we're slaves, or bond slaves. There's a difference between a servant and a slave. A servant chooses who he wants to work for, but a slave is owned and possessed by the person that he's working for. And Paul said the church at Philippi, they loved him and prayed for him and worked with him. And the believers were slaves of Jesus Christ. In that church, they were servants and slaves bought by Jesus Christ. You know what? We're slaves. That's what Paul said. Paul and Timothy, bond servants, are slaves of Jesus Christ. You know, he had been purchased. He had been bought with a price. God bought us with a price, folks. We're his servants. We're his slave. And Paul calls himself and Timothy a slave of Jesus Christ. He meant that he was literally owned and he was possessed by Jesus Christ. Christ had seen his degraded condition. Couldn't help but think of when she told about that testimony of hers, Cynthia. That was a beautiful testimony. You know, we come from different backgrounds. I love going out and meeting each of you and talking about each one of you, or with each one of you. I might talk about you too. But you know what? Every one of you in here has got a story to tell. Bill brought his testimony Saturday morning in the men's breakfast. Man, I didn't know you went through all of that. I didn't know a lot about Brother Bill, and I ride with him all the time. And he never had shared some of those things. But, you know, you didn't know about Cynthia's life. We need to get to know one another because we're possessed by the same person if we love Jesus Christ. But, you know, he saved us out of all kinds of different conditions in our life. Now, Paul, he was on fire for his persecuting the church when God met him and saved him and loved him and bought him. And he was a possession, he says, of Jesus Christ. He existed only for Christ. That was his life. When he was saved, it was only for Jesus Christ. His one supreme service was to serve Jesus Christ from that day on. You know, he had no ambition on his own, just what his master willed. He only wanted to do the will of God, and he fought and he struggled to bring every thought, every part of his body to obedience. You remember he tells in Romans that the things he didn't want to do, he found himself doing. It was a struggle in his life. He taught as one that was boxing and just beating the air. He brought his body under subjection. He wanted to be obedient to Christ above all. And to do that, he had to fight and to struggle with the old flesh in his life. And he realized that he was been bought with Jesus Christ. And he was now a slave of Christ. And he only wanted the highest for his master. He only wanted the most honored for his master. He only wanted to do what his master wanted him to do. Now, isn't that what we should do as a church? As individuals in the church, our lives, think about it. God saved you from in most cases, some horrible background. And he brought you to where you are tonight. And look how he's blessed you. Man, I know most of you got beautiful families. You've got, you know, got great kids, got a great wife, got a great husband. Shouldn't you be thankful to God that all you want to do is just what God wants you to do, to honor him with your life? And to be a slave of Jesus bestowed the highest privilege and responsibility of serving Paul could think of. He was serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let me tell you, a healthy church has men and women in that church who are literally sold out for Jesus. Because that's what Paul says. We ought to be a slave. We ought to be possessed by Jesus Christ. And only then will we reach the lost people for Christ. Only then will we turn loose and reach the world for Jesus Christ. Only then will we give freely of the things that we had. You know, the early church didn't have a financial problem. They just kept giving. They held all things loosely. You see, when they were saved, somebody said that when somebody was saved, he saved his pocketbook and all. Baptized his pocketbook and all. Well, that's what it ought to be, folks. We shouldn't have a financial problem. It shouldn't be a thing in God's church. We ought to be willing to give and give freely to the Lord to meet every need that God might want us to have. Man, we ought to be able to do that. Man, I thought, oh, just think of the people who, you know, I can think back over the years, a little lady, when this church thought, we thought this church is not going to make it, some little lady came along and gave us $70,000 to build a parking lot with. And we couldn't afford that parking lot. Everybody wanted to say, oh, preacher, we have to walk out there on that old Cleachy Rock, and we were thinking about putting Cleachy Rock, but the ladies were saying our high heels would get down in that old Cleachy Rock, but then none of them wanted to turn loose the money. And this little lady had never been in this church before. Come to the front door down there. I met her coming in. I don't know why I was down there. Maybe God sent me down there. But as she come in the front door, she said, are you the preacher? And I said, yes. She handed me a piece of paper. Never had that before done in my life. She said, here's my name in the church I'm coming from. This is my letter. I'm joining your church today. I said, man, okay. Who are you? And you know what? God just used her in a mighty way. She bought all the choir robes twice, I think. She bought that parking lot out there. She didn't want any glory for it all. Just said, I want to do this for the church. And I said, God, you just sent this little lady by. It's his church. He knows what he's doing. We had a man come along, and we needed land. He bought land out here for us. God did that. It's no accident, you know. It's no accident that that happened. Had a man come along and just calmly wrote me a check. Or he said, you write a check. He said, you write the check and I'll sign it. And I said, how much you want to write it for? He said, $100,000. Did you know I didn't even know how to start that, man? I just blew my mind. I said, did you say $1,000? He said, no, $100,000. And I said, let's see, that's how many zeros on that? You talking to a guy from Reclaw, and he said, yeah, I know, I came from the same where. I don't know how many it is either. He said, that's the reason I asked you to write it. But he said, this ought to take care of a lot of children. This ought to take care of a lot of bills that we have in our church. And I said, God did that. That's not a person, that is God, folks. There's not a need that this church has that God doesn't have the supply already for it if we will just believe Him for it. Amen. That's how He works in our life. We don't have to beg for money. We don't have to, you know, I don't work for a salary. I thank you that you pay me, but no. You know, when I came here, I'd have preached for free if you'd asked me, and almost did. Because God is the one who takes care of every need you have. It's not you. It's not me. It has to be God, you see. God says, I'll take care of you. I didn't know Brother Bill, but you know, Brother Bill's a pastor of this little church down here. And one day he walked into my office and said, Brother Pastor, he said, I met him a few times. He introduced himself and said, we're going to give you our church. And I thought about that for a second. I said, what'd you say? What you talking about, boy? He said, we're going to give you that church. He said, we voted to do that. You know, that was God. That was God. That's all it was. People just, God's got people out there that He wants to bless. Let me tell you something. Every one of these people were blessed of God. God blessed them. And they got a bigger blessing than they would have had if they had the money, you see. That's what it's all about. I can remember a time when I needed $100, and I've told you about it. Some deacon from our former church way back yonder had wrote a check the day before I even needed it and said, sent it with a letter and said, I thought you might have needed this. And man, I did need it. I needed it just on time. God's always got it just on time. Never before, but just on time, you see. The organ, man, what a blessing. You're going to enjoy it and be enjoyed. They didn't have to do that. That's God. God is at work. This is a wonderful church. It's a beautiful church. There's not a need that He hasn't blessed us with. You know, we talk about things and we talk about money. Money's not an object for God. He's got it. He owns it all. You know, there's always somebody that He wants to bless. And I it could be you. It could be all you have to do is say, Lord, I want to be possessed by You. I want to give everything I've got to You. Whatever I have belongs to the Lord. You know, we did it in a little bit different way. Somebody says, how in the world can you and Rhonda be happy with your child overseas? He belongs to God. He's not ours. He's God's. That's what I look at it. I wouldn't want him here unless God put him here. We gave him to God years ago. And man, it's a blessing. Yeah, we like those little granddaughters. Now, he can stay over there. Some of y'all catch that in a minute. But you know, we don't want them back unless that is God's will. Because if he's back, if he's back and not happy, then, you know, what's the use of living if you're not happy? You've got to be in the center of God's will. And if you're going to be in a church, you ought to be in the center of God's will. Everything we do in this life ought to be pleasing and to honor God. It's not about the money. It's not about bigness. It's not about anything like that. It's simply about God. And that's what he says here. Listen to what it, so many people have this, have come to me and said, "Preacher, I tell you what, I'm burned out on helping people. You know, I help people, and I'm not going to do it anymore. They keep abusing us. They keep running over us." You know what? Oswald Chambers, I looked long and hard for this. He has some words of wisdom. He said, "If we are devoted to the cause of humanity, we soon will be brokenhearted. But if our motive is for love of God, no ingratitude can hinder us from serving our fellow man." That's where it's at, folks. We don't serve because of the world or the people we help or humanity. If we do, I'd have quit a long time ago because they've hurt me over and over and over. People have disappointed me. They have lied to me. But, you know, we don't serve that way. We serve because we're grateful to God. We're grateful to God. No other reason. That's what Paul said. "I am a servant, a slave to Jesus." Don't you think they hurt Jesus? Don't you think they hurt Paul? But yet, time after time, again, he has this about him where he just loves God. A healthy church is also full of true saints. Now, what is a saint? A saint is anyone who is truly a believer in Christ, has asked Christ to come into their life. Now, if you're saved tonight, you're a saint. You may not look like it, but you're a saint. That's what God's word says. God has trusted you to do his work. Isn't that great to know that God has given the work for us to do? I wonder what when he got back to heaven, the angels looked around and said, "You mean you trusted the gospel with those 12 guys down there?" They didn't disappoint, did they? He filled them with the Spirit of God, and it set them on fire. They had a cause to live for. And folks, if God has saved you tonight, you have a cause to live for. It's called three stages of our salvation. One is a personal, a positional sanctification. The moment we are saved, guess what? We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We have been set apart for God. Positionally, we are to live for God day by day by day. I'm not my own anymore. I belong to Christ. Sometimes I disappoint him. Sometimes I get in the flesh. We all do. Oh, we're ashamed for it. We go to God and we get on our knees before God and we ask God to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does. But we're always in Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Positionally, you're just as good as in heaven right now. Nothing can change that fact if you're in Christ. You cannot lose your salvation. If you could lose your salvation, that would mean that God wasn't strong enough to keep you saved because he saved you to start with. So you can't lose your salvation. You can lose your fellowship with him, and we know what that is when we lose our fellowship. And when we're lost our fellowship with him, oh, he will not hear our prayers until we confess it and get it right. Man, Hebrews 10:10 says, "By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Positionally, you're in Christ. You're set apart. Then we have progressively sanctification. The true believer makes a determination and is disciplined in his life to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work in his life. And by working in our life, slowly but surely, guess what? Day by day, we're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Progressively, sanctification. Day by day, we learn to walk. You know, a little baby doesn't learn to walk overnight, does he? He falls, he crawls, but finally he's up and running, and he hardly ever falls anymore. And that's the way we are as Christians. We start out walking the Christian life. Certainly we're going to fall short. Certainly we're going to sin. But we get back up, we ask God to forgive us, and we go on. And before long, we find ourselves growing. We don't do the things we used to do. We don't say the things we used to say. We don't go to the places we used to go. And the first thing you know, we're getting more and more like Jesus Christ. We're progressively growing. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of God, and changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The Holy Spirit is working in your life. You know, I have people come to me sometimes and say, "Preacher, you know, I did this and I feel guilty about it." And I say, "Well, if you feel guilty about it, don't do it no more." That's the Holy Spirit. He's working in you. Somebody says, "How do you know you're saved?" Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you know it. I don't agree with these people who say, "Well, you can be saved and not know it." No, you know. You know if you're saved. If you got that old doubt and you got that old doubt and you got that old doubt, man, you need to get saved. You know if you're saved. If you do something wrong and you feel so bad about it, that's the Holy Spirit convicting your heart. You're saved. Confess it. Get it right. And don't do it no more. You see, don't just keep doing it. Get rid of it. And then there's the eternal sanctification. The day's coming when the believer will be perfectly set apart. Perfectly set apart unto God and his service. Listen to this, Ephesians 5:27. "That he might present it to himself, a glorious church." Now, what is that talking about? One day, your life, all of our lives in Christ, we are going to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy without blemish. Folks, we ought to be holy as God is holy. We ought to live our lives. That's eternal. Down here, we're going to struggle, but man, we ought to be growing closer to God every day. Enoch walked with God. I preached on that, I think, a few weeks ago. He walked with God. He continued to walk with God. Friends, we should walk with God. We should live separated lives, living righteous lives. How in the world can we sit complacent? How in the world can we sleep while the world dies and goes to hell? We ought to be motivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we live our lives unconcerned? Man, does it bother you to see little children in hunger? Does it bother you to see little children starving to death? I know we can't feed them all, but we can do our part. We can do our part. What is keeping you tonight from being conformed into God's image? Think about that. What's keeping you from being conformed in God's image? A healthy church is becoming more and more like Christ. It's made up of true saints. Not only that, a healthy church has leaders who lead. Paul addressed the members as saints, and now he refers to the bishops and deacons. Bishops were the same as the elders in those days. They were ministers of the church. The deacon were spiritually minded men who dedicated themselves to the Lord to minister to the church. Now, let me tell you something, Deacons. I was thinking about you this morning. I said, you know what? I love my deacons, I tell you. But we really don't understand here in America what serving God and serving the church is. Deacons are ministers to the church. I thought about Zach's father-in-law, Mr. Kuth. Did you know in their church that he arrives there at 5:30 in the morning? They're deacons. They arrive, he says, at 5:30 for the first service. First service at 5:30. They have 10 during the day. He doesn't go home till late that night. He doesn't eat with his family. They serve the church all day long. Man, what a guy. The love of Jesus compels them to do that. They're there praying. They're there locking up. I got there. You know what? I'm not suggesting y'all do this or anything. But I just noticed the devotion of those people. When the pastor drives up, they're there to open the door for him. They're there to take his luggage or whatever the Bible. They're there to escort him in. Take care of every need that he might have before he gets in the pulpit. I thought, wow. And they're not required. They do it because they love the Lord. Now, in America, we got it a little bit soft, don't we, when we come to. I kind of think that's what happened in this early church. They were dedicated their lives to the Lord. I asked him, I said, when do you go home? Will you? Hank Young says, he don't come home. The deacons are there from daylight to dark. All day Sunday, 10 services. Helping people, seating people, doing whatever deacons might do. But man, I might not have any deacons if we did that, didn't we? Maybe that ought to be a qualification now we put new deacons. I tell you what, okay, if you want to be qualified as a deacon in this church, you got to come at 5:30 in the morning. You got to stay all day. You don't eat lunch till it's over with. And you're in the building praying. Not only that, they come and pray before they go to work during the week. I probably wouldn't find no deacons. But their ministry freed the pastor to pray and preach, you see. Man, I've just been told this week several times, you didn't go see so-and-so this week. Deacons were also found preaching as well. Churches must organize the ministry. Folks, we need to be people who love God, spiritually sound, spiritually minded, and every believer is to witness. But let me tell you something. The leadership must lead. Leadership must lead. You're not going to get any help if you're not willing to help yourself. Leadership must lead. A healthy church experiences grace and peace. I love the last part. Grace to you and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Grace, I said this morning, pulls things together. Grace means favor and blessings of God. Grace means undeserved favor. Friends, that word undeserved is the key to an understanding grace. You see, man does not deserve God's grace one bit. Man is imperfect, and God is perfect. I didn't deserve to be saved. You didn't deserve to be saved, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that means me and you, shall call upon him shall be saved. Man has rejected God. Man has rebelled against God. Man has ignored God. Man has cursed God. Man has sinned against God. Man has disobeyed God. Man has denied God. And we question God every time we get sick. And yet, God loves us and pours out his grace upon us. And I was just mentioning a while ago those things that God sent our way. We didn't deserve that. It's his church, and he's here inside his church. Therefore, we ought to praise him. We ought to go out of these doors praising God, praising him with our lives, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace. That word peace means that God has put us together. And the Bible says God added unto church daily those who wanted to be saved. This is God's church. People just keep coming. People keep joining. I wonder, where they come from? God puts them here. God will provide. God will guide. God will deliver. God will encourage. God will sustain. God will strengthen now and forever. He said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He's still on the throne, folks. All we have to do is trust God. Look to him for our guidance. If you're here tonight and your life is not right with God, you can't have revival till you get it right with God. I can't have revival till I get it right with God. We won't see revival until we get right with God. Now, are we right with God? Do you love him to where you will give him everything you have? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for these people here. We thank you, Lord, that you continue just to bless. Lord, I thank you. I praise your name. Praise your name in the sanctuary. Praise your name in the firmaments. We praise your holy name. You are holy. Lord, if there's someone that needs to make a decision tonight, your Holy Spirit's been dealing with them, Lord, let them make that decision. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.